Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We're back. Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus, it's good to be back.
It's great to be back, man. Safe and sane. Good to see you, family. And you know, this is going to be even crazier times for us because we're expecting this week our fourth child. So on top of everything else going on in this world, we're going to add an addition to the fam.
All right. So right now, the coronavirus way above our pay grade. So we're going to get right to what we do here on Speak for Yourself and FS1. And let's talk sports. Let's talk football. Let's talk Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. We haven't had a chance to do that. We were MIA all last week when that news broke. Tom Brady headed to Tampa Bay, two-year contract, $50 million guaranteed. Didn't offer the Patriots a chance to counter or even really engage with him. Tom Brady wanted out of here. Marcellus, my take is after 20 years, this is the typical split that happens in a father-son relationship. And that's what Belichick and Brady had, a father-son football relationship. And eventually, the child grows up and the boy wants to be a full-blown man and he starts bucking against his father, age 18, 19, 20 years old. And there's a split. Happened with me and my father. I was in the wrong. I'm wondering if you think anyone is at fault here in the Brady-Belichick split, Tom Brady leaving New England to go to Tampa Bay?
Yes, somebody definitely is at fault right here. I don't think this is a typical family relationship. I don't think this is a typical family father-son split because the father should show the son much more love than we've seen Tom Brady receive from Bill Belichick in terms of adoration and appreciation. So I hope I'm not raising my son this way, but that point to the side, I think there is someone at fault. And it's not Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick did what Bill Belichick does, which is I'm going to assess you cold-hearted in a manner that is strictly about production and what I see in you going forward. I think that even Tom Brady, who went 20 years deprived of the full love and the respect that he deserved with his production and his GOAT status, said enough was enough, let alone enough is enough. But it's actually Robert Kraft. Bob Kraft sits here trying to keep his hands clean in a situation where he has full control if he really wants to rectify it. So as we saw Tom Brady say, hey, man, something that is well done is better than well said. Bob Kraft is on a campaign of full page ads and putting up billboards and sending out Hallmark cards and how much he loves Tom Brady and how great he is. You mean how great he was, because this is the same Bob Kraft that interrupted the Jimmy G trade in offering Tom Brady. Bill Belichick was trying. Bob Kraft said, no. Tom Brady stays. He didn't do that this time for a reason. Because he, like everyone else, realized that Tom Brady's better days are behind him.
Listen, I'm going to disagree with you about the father-son relationship part because it all depends on what type of father you have. Some people have fathers who they're constantly trying to please and they can't please them. Listen, a mother gives you unconditional love. A father's love a lot of times comes with a lot of conditions. And I think for good reason. I think that's the proper relationship. I think a lot of times when raising a son, between a mother and a mother's going to love you up and a father's going to correct all your mistakes. And you're going to feel like, hey, man, this dude's always on my back, but he's actually always looking out for my best interest. And he's trying to protect me and trying to guide me in a way. And again, the reason I say that's because me and my father had this relationship. And I know some other guys
I can
that have
tell.
Had relationships like this with their father. And so Belichick, to me, I don't think he's in the wrong here. And I blame Tom Brady like I blame myself, because there was a time when, you know, me and my father were at war when I was a young adult. And again, I go back to like Tom Brady and this Alex Guerrero situation. And I don't want to compare, but there is some compare. My father didn't like some of my friends. He didn't want me to associate with some guys that he felt were going a different direction than I and what the culture he had tried to create for me. And so I think when I look at Alex Guerrero and the TB12 and how they had the disputes about how involved Guerrero should be, how involved Tom Brady's culture that he was trying to bring to England, how much influence Belichick wanted that to have over what they had already created, I see a lot of father-son dynamics. And I think, just like me, after about 5-6 years down the road, after me and my dad had a major blow-up, 5-6 years down the road, I was like, damn, he was right. And I should have listened to him. I would have been better served bowing to his wisdom, his experience, his years. But again, I just think this is the typical curve between a father and son. And I think as it relates to football, Tom Brady had the most demanding father in the history of the NFL. And this split was inevitable. And I think at the end of the day, Tom Brady's going to say, you know what? I should have stuck it out there. Yes, this guy is a butthole. Yes, he's hard to please. But my God, look at what all we accomplished. He made me and helped me become the greatest quarterback and perhaps the greatest athlete in team sports history. Maybe I shouldn't have left.
And look, that's the crux of the problem right there. No wonder our generation's so messed up. We have fathers like that. Just, you could never please them fully, could never totally get their full love and respect. I don't think that's always what was necessary for someone to be incentivized and to be fully motivated. But in this situation, it's interesting that in 2017, there were talks of trading Tom Brady. So using Belichick against himself, that was premature, because Tom Brady went to 2 Super Bowls and won one. At the same time, Bill Belichick thinks that Tom Brady needs to be shipped elsewhere. Thankfully, at that time, Bob Kraft was the voice of reason and stepped in with his full power that he had then and that he has now. So if you're Tom Brady, look, if your father's that demanding, let me show you, father, that I can leave this nest and that you have helped and support and raise me to GOAT status. But I'm an adult GOAT now, and it's time for me to go out there and show you that I can divorce our reputation of Belichick made Tom Brady. Tom Brady has to sit there in quiet times and think about, hey, I did a lot of this myself, the decision-making, the poise in problem times, just the throws, the accuracy. A lot of that is not Belichick. A lot of that is Tom Brady between the white lines doing his job. So all that said, they both can be correct, but they both have to be on a mission to prove that the other was wrong.
And my only problem with Tom Brady is timing. I think he's waited too long to fully go out and prove his point. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. There's a lot of weapons down in Tampa Bay. I think Bruce Arians is a hell of a coach. I'm excited for Brady and Byron Leftwich to work together. Maybe he'll be proving me wrong. But I just think at 42, 20 years in, it's almost like to go out and prove that point that you can do it without Belichick and that system and that comfort you have in New England. Wow. To 42, that, look, man, you've recently been there. I remember going into my 40s, and I know Tom lives a completely different lifestyle and does all the things to take care of his body, but I just don't see him able to prove that point. And the way he clearly, and this is why people were adamant that he was leaving New England, because they knew Tom Brady wanted out. I think the Patriots and even Bill Belichick at the right price still wanted Tom Brady to be there. But like a lot of fathers, oh, you want to go prove me wrong? You want to prove that my 60, 50 years of wisdom, that your 20 years of wisdom trumps mine? Have at it. And we'll rally back up a few years from now and see who's right or wrong. And I tend to think Belichick's going to be proven right.
Look, as the old adage goes, the days are long, but the years are short. And the reason I think that applies here is because you can say Tom Brady by his birth certificate, 42 years old. You can say by years played in the NFL, 20 years. And to Tom Brady, that feels a lot shorter than it sounds. But you know what doesn't feel short? Those long, dreary days with a coach who is riding you and riding you, and it's not even appropriate. Someone who steals the joy of all the success and fun that you have of just working on your craft and building to these championships. Someone who robs you of those moments starts to look like an outsider more than someone who's fully fueling and supporting you through this process. And Tom Brady has to feel like, all right, Belichick, you only had two winning seasons without me. So let's not act like Cleveland was a success where you lost five of your six seasons there. Let's see what you're up to. And I think this is just going to be a match, a championship grudge match of who looks better without the other. So this is the classic breakup at high school before the prom. And they both going to show up and they both going to have dates and they both going to say, look, I'm doing better without you. And I think that's what we're all going to take witness to in 2020 in the season is who looks better without the other.
Well, I'm certainly rooting for Tom Brady. I want to make that clear. I prefer him over Belichick. I just happen to think Belichick's going to be right. Let's move to a different topic, same subject, different topic. There's two different models here, I think, for Brady Belichick. There's the Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr dynamic, where Lombardi, bigger star than the quarterback, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. And then there's the Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, 20, 30 years down the road, Joe Montana, a bigger star, bigger legacy in the NFL than Bill Walsh. What do you think plays out here 20, 30 years from now? Who has a bigger NFL legacy, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
I would have to side with Tom Brady. And it's not a slam dunk. Obviously, Bill Belichick should and will have more time as a coach than Tom Brady will as a quarterback in the NFL. But I think that the immediacy of their next move is going to really play heavy into their legacy and what we remember years down the line. It's going to be that Tom Brady landed on his feet, maybe even landed on his toes in Tampa Bay in terms of the weapons that they have and the numbers he'll be able to put up, and taking the lowliest franchise in the NFL, basically in sports, and taking that franchise to potentially the playoffs or even the promised land, where Bill Belichick more than likely will struggle in the immediate future. And I think when we're talking about their legacies and that clash, we're going to look in the near term more so than the long term. We're going to see how Tom Brady was being clamped and was being hindered by the lack of weapons and the bad drafts and the lack of offensive production surrounding him. And it wasn't all on Brady, where Belichick, he has so many things that he has to put into place before this roster is even at last year's level, let alone a team that wins in the playoffs going forward. So I think it's going to be tough sledding for Bill Belichick coming up in the near future versus Tom Brady, who's going to land on his feet.
I think this thing is going to ride on two things. One of them, very superficial, but it actually matters. And the other, it'll be very objective. If Tom Brady performs poorly in Tampa Bay and it doesn't go well, I think Belichick has the much bigger legacy, longer life. He's the legend of this era as opposed to Tom Brady. However, if Tom Brady does anything in Tampa Bay, he has a superficial advantage over Bill Belichick that's going to play really big here. Looks matter. They really do. Sex appeal matters. Joe Montana, one of the biggest reasons why he's bigger than Bill Walsh. Joe Montana was a sex symbol, handsomest man in professional sports at that time. Tom Brady has that going for him right now. His marriage to Giselle and what big celebrities they are. I think all of that will matter. You go to Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr, he might as well look like me. You know, he didn't have that right going for him. And so Vince Lombardi was the bigger star coming out of that. Again, if Brady does anything, given his looks, his celebrity marriage to Giselle, he's going to have a much bigger legacy. If he struggles in Tampa, I think it's going to be Bill Belichick.
Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/speak to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, Speak for Yourself, brought to you by Hyundai. All right, let's go to the phone lines. LeVar Arrington is there. LeVar, you just heard us go over Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and who won the split and the father-son relationship. You have a take on what you just heard.
Oh, man. Well, I tend to agree with Marcellus on this one. I think taking a look at the way things kind of came apart or unraveled, I think Tom Brady is in the better scenario to say, okay, if you want me to prove that I can do it as an adult dad, leave the nest, then that's what I'll do. It sets a great stage. I mean, obviously Tampa Bay had a rough year last season for one reason or another, but they have a ton of weapons and it puts Tom Brady in an opportunity to actually prove.
All right,
that,
well, let's get to our big story of the day.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is being kicked out of Carolina, and Teddy Bridgewater is the new guy in Carolina. And I'm sorry, and Jameis Winston has been kicked out of Tampa Bay. Who has a better upside, a brighter future in 2020, Cam Newton or Jameis Winston?
I think Jameis. And the reason why I think Jameis is because if you look at his stats, he's got great stats. I mean, he broke 5,000 yards passing. We've never seen Cam even do more than 5,000 yards. So you get him in a great situation, I think he could possibly end up in New England. I think Jameis has a better opportunity to have more success than the health questions. Don't know about his Cam's health yet.
Now, for me, it's Cam Newton. Look, it's not that hard to throw for 5,000 yards if you're Jameis Winston, if you don't care who catches it. You know, whether it's your color or the other team, you just throw the ball up and it's three flies up. Let's be real about this. We all know about mind over matter. And in this situation, it's mind versus matter. It's the mind of Jameis Winston, who has never given you full confidence that he sees the football field correctly, or more importantly, makes the right decisions based on what he sees. His mind is an issue, whereas the matter of Cam Newton is his body. And no one can predict the future in terms of, is Cam going to be healthy? But we certainly can predict that Jameis Winston will not see the football field correctly and go out there and turn the ball over. If you look at some of his numbers, insane in terms of, he's only started three full seasons. And in those 48 games, he threw 66 interceptions. Like, you know, as a defender that you're going to get the ball thrown to you. But worse, if you're his teammate, you know you're going to give up the ball. And a guy who's accounted for 1/5 of all the pick sixes in the NFL last year is not going to have a brighter future than a former MVP who is Cam Newton.
Yeah, but I think you'll find out.
I'm going to say this. I think that both of you, I can see the arguments on both sides. The health concerns about Cam Newton are real. But the reason why I lean Jameis Winston just by a hair, I think Jameis Winston cares more about football than Cam Newton. And that's been my issue with Cam Newton. How important is football? To Jameis is very important. Marcellus is right, though. The guy is a turnover machine. And, you know, he can maybe he cares too much. And maybe that's why he makes so many mistakes. But if I had to just base on who really cares about football, I think Jameis, because he hasn't had the kind of success that Cam has had. Cam's been an MVP. Cam has had the $100 million contract and is really well has been really well paid. It's all still out there for Jameis. He hasn't proven himself as an NFL player. He still cares about football. I think it's more important to Jameis.
I think Jameis brings to the unknown element. Like, we're so sold on saying how much of a turnover machine that he is, but how good has his coaching been? How much has his development been a part of his career? I think if he goes to the right place, that's what's more important. If he goes to the right place, like if he ends up in New England and they can teach him how to look at the field and see those windows, it may make all the difference in the world. That's I'm leaning on the fact that we know he can deliver yards. And if we only have to correct one aspect of his game, which is the turnovers aspect of it, I would be more willing to lean towards a guy that's available that can put up numbers.
I am not getting caught up in the fact that Jameis Winston had LASIK surgery this offseason, and all he needs is a great coach to bring out all of his great abilities. And he started off as a number one pick, just like Cam Newton. If you care so much, show it in full production and care for the football and care to protect it. Jameis Winston is predictable. You know he's going to turn the ball over. Cam Newton has one issue, guys. He wasn't healthy. Other than that, when you saw Cam Newton in full body, mind, and spirit, that was an MVP or MVP candidate. We have never discussed that in terms of Jameis Winston, a lower ceiling, no matter what coaching and what he does in terms of protection of the football.
Jameis has better stats. And Cam's greatest year, he threw 35 touchdowns, only four more than what Jameis has done. So I wouldn't get too carried away on saying that he's such an elite, more of an elite talent than Jameis is.
Well, you get me in garbage time situations. You put me under duress. I understand that Jameis has better counting numbers, but making those numbers count, he doesn't have the same impact as Cam Newton has so far in his career. Anybody want to talk?
I'll take it and respond to it. I certainly believe that Jameis in the right situation, and we'll find out when Tom goes to Tampa Bay as well, in terms of protection as to how that applies. I think so. When you look at the amount of times that Jameis was sacked and he was hit and he was rushed, some of those interceptions that we're hanging on Jameis isn't necessarily on Jameis Winston personally. So if he goes to the right situation, again, where there is a running attack or there is a sound blocking scheme that's there and they're able to develop Jameis, I don't see this whole epidemic of him throwing interceptions being the reason why he doesn't have a higher upside moving forward today than what Cam Newton has.
All right, hey guys, let's move to another topic.
Let's move to another topic here. Jadeveon Clowney, no one's interested in him. Maybe he's going to re-sign with Seattle. He's not going to get the kind of big contract he thought he was. The move to Seattle from Houston, I don't think has worked for Jadeveon Clowney. Marcellus, start us off. Are you surprised there seems to be no market for Jadeveon Clowney?
No, I'm not surprised. I think I've always been more of a critic or certainly less on Jadeveon Clowney than his clout and his reputation suggests. I look at Jadeveon Clowney by his numbers and I say, being an elite talent has never had double-digit sacks. You talk about a guy who's commanding or asking for $20 million per and is coming off a sports hernia surgery and only had three sacks last year. That's not going to correlate with a suggested asking price of $20 million. I remember when Jadeveon Clowney made the first Pro Bowl in 2016 and he had six sacks. And I think it was a lot of pinned up energy for everyone who was waiting for Jadeveon Clowney to to finally explode. And when they saw six sacks, they said, hey, that's enough, and voted him into the Pro Bowl. And I'm sitting back remembering when I was in the league and when I had six sacks, I had to have a meeting with my agent and my owner talking about, hey, is everything okay? And now that fast forwards into a Pro Bowl nod. You look at his numbers, you look at the injury concern and his injury history. I think this is about accurate. People are saying bring that price down based on what we've seen, which has not been superior production based on that talent.
I tend to agree. I don't think there's a market for him at the price tag that he's seeking. But I think it's more so based upon him being a victim of a sensational play. So once you get deemed a sensational play player, the play that he had against Michigan, he hits the guy fumbles, he picks the ball up with one hand, almost scores. With all of the fanfare and all of the coverage that Jadeveon Clowney has had since then, has really set him up to be a victim of his own sensational play that took place. And take it from one person who knows, they named the play after me, and I never was able to do a LeVar leap every single play, every single time that I got out there on the field. He's going to be judged. He has been measured and weighed and judged on the sensational play. You could add sack to that. You don't necessarily have to be a guy who gets a ton of sacks to be the most valuable guy to the defense. Are you getting tackles for losses? Are you getting pass breakups? Are you rushing the passer? Jadeveon has been very, very effective as a defensive end and had a very productive year as a Seattle Seahawk. But when you look at what justifies paying him the type of dollar that he's asking for, he's ultimately a victim of not getting a ton of sacks, of not getting the sensational play that you've been looking for from Jadeveon since he's been drafted. So I think that it's hard for him to ever live up to the hype that he had and the fanfare coming into the league, and it's showing right now in this market.
All right, great job, guys.
Muscle pain? I'm talking stopping your tracks. I'll never work out again. Oh, my God, what am I going to do kind of pain? This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Our handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. It's this simple. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and is used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to Theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, listeners to Speak for Yourself get a free charging stand with the purchase, a $79 value. That's Theragun.com/cadence. That's Theragun.com/cadence. CADENCE.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy. My guy.
My question.
Question.
Of the day.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, Speak for Yourself, presented to you by Hyundai. All right, now it's time for Darnell Smith and Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's talk DeAndre Hopkins. The All-Pro receiver was one of the first huge moves of the offseason, being traded from Houston to Arizona. And after the trade, Michael Irvin actually said DeAndre told him he had friction with Texans coach Bill O'Brien, who allegedly compared Hopkins to Aaron Hernandez and complained about the receiver's baby mamas. After the story came out, Hopkins said it was all blown way out of proportion. But what I want to know is, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, thoughts are that DeAndre Hopkins, the way he repeated the story to Michael Irvin, is probably completely different than how Bill O'Brien perceives he delivered the message to DeAndre Hopkins. I know Hopkins has tried to put the fire out on the story, and I think he's probably tried to put the fire out on the story because of what I'm saying. In the immediate aftermath of being moved and traded, I would imagine DeAndre Hopkins was upset, embarrassed, and on the phone with Michael Irvin telling an exaggerated story, playing the telephone game. So I don't even blame Michael Irvin. I do think this whole thing is a little bit unfair to Bill O'Brien. I do think that, let's say DeAndre Hopkins did complain that Bill O'Brien said something about my baby mamas or whatever, and DeAndre Hopkins took offense to that. But the reality is, and I'm sorry, I've seen people push back on Bill O'Brien, and I saw people saying, oh, my God, this is why we need more black coaches. I'm like, oh, well, hold on, man. When it comes down to baby mama drama impacting your work environment, there's just a universal, like, hey, man, this is unprofessional. Whatever's going on in your personal life can't impact what's going on in our professional life. That's just business across the board. That's the way my father ran the Masterpiece Lounge in Indianapolis, in the inner city of Indianapolis. You can't have your personal life impacting what's going on in your professional life. And professionals, coaches, executives, whatever, if your personal life starts affecting what's going on in the work environment, they're going to offer up a complaint. So, and as the as far as the analogy to Aaron Hernandez, that sounds so far-fetched and taken out of context. Again, and this is what happens in the telephone game, the way that Bill O'Brien delivered the message is probably different than how DeAndre Hopkins explained the message to Michael Irvin.
Look, a lot to unpack here. One, Michael Irvin proves once again he kept it 100. Only thing I have with Michael Irvin's comments is maybe they were a little too transparent and it really left Hopkins exposed in terms of trying to refute those or even try to calm that down. That's unfortunate because I'm sure Michael Irvin had no malintention, but that's just the way it comes across. That said, this is the problem with having disciples. Bill Belichick, at the height of his powers, is able to undress a Tom Brady, the GOAT. But then you have disciples like a Bill O'Brien who leaves that culture and tries to reinstate a new culture in Houston. And while he's trying to enforce this culture, he is lost in the height of powers of Bill Belichick and trying to replicate that in Houston. You have to climb your own hill if you're Bill O'Brien. You now have a culture where you have Tunzel on the roster, but not DeAndre Hopkins, who went about his business quietly and went about his business effectively. So I don't understand what culture you're really trying to create if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't fit in that fold. That all said, I think that this is a situation where when you're trying to create something, a lot of times you come in with a heavier hand than necessary. This is a complete overcorrection of a culture that's trying to replicate what he had in New England. The problem is he's not Bill Belichick and he can't pull those same stunts.
Only thing I would say, Marcel, is knowing some people who have worked with DeAndre Hopkins professionally. DeAndre Hopkins, like a lot of super talented, successful people, very high maintenance. Very high maintenance. I was talking to some people that work with him a couple of days ago, and they shared with me what their work relationship had been with DeAndre Hopkins and some other non-football situations. Not the most professional. And so, again, I don't, DeAndre Hopkins is a highly successful wide receiver. When you are that, you can get away with a lot of things. And again, not to defend Bill O'Brien, because I do think he's gruff and abrupt with people and maybe doesn't play politics as well as you should when you haven't had the kind of success like you're talking about with Bill Belichick. But DeAndre Hopkins has some issues. And, you know, some of this is on him. But again, I think Michael Irvin was relaying what he was told. But again, like most people, when they tell a story, it's not totally in context. It's not a totally accurate. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Happy Monday to you. TJ Houshmandzadeh on the phone with us. TJ, you just heard us talk a little bit about DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien, and Michael Irvin. You got any thoughts?
I tend to agree with Marcellus here. These guys leave Belichick and they think they can treat people and players the same way. Bill gets away with it because they're successful and guys, they're willing to put up with it. When you haven't been as successful as Belichick and you come in there and
you degrade guys privately or in a meeting room with guys, they don't like that. And I like DeAndre Hopkins. He took the high road. He didn't want to make it about that. He's, you know, we're all good, but he wanted out of there because of the way Bill O'Brien talked to him and treated him.
All right, let's move to Dak Prescott, who's been franchise tagged since last we saw you, and which leads to the obvious question of what's more likely to happen? Dak get a long-term contract extension, or Dak gets the Kirk Cousins treatment and is eventually run out of Dallas before ever signing a long-time contract extension? Marcellus, what's more likely?
Oh, he's getting paid, and he's going to get the extension he wants, and it's going to happen this summer before the July 15th deadline. Look, let's all go back to our younger days, the days where we were out there buying expensive things, and that sticker shock didn't deter you as much as it should have. So there was a time where I was in the market for buying expensive cars, and the funny thing about it is you buy the car in those days, and you spend your couple $100,000 and you're like, damn, I spent a lot of money, but I'm not done spending because I got to get the rims. I got to get the sounds. I got to get the tent. I got to do all this stuff, which runs up the cost. Right now, they want Dak at a contract that's higher than Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. That's great. That's the car. But now they got to hook it up. And what he wants is the new CBA hooked up into this damn vehicle. He wants all these other deals that may affect his, like a Patrick Mahomes. Let all of that dust settle in your mind, even if it's not reality. And then realize what you have to pay to acquire me in its fullness. This is not a full deal yet, what they're offering Dak Prescott. But trust me, it's coming in the next couple months.
TJ?
Man, for me, I got you. For me, if they don't sign Dak Prescott here in the next couple months, Dak Prescott will be another Kirk Cousins. You'll play on two franchise tags, and they're going to get rid. The price is only going to go up. If the price is only going to go up and they don't want to pay him what he wants, they're not going to want to pay him more because as more time passes, the price is going to go. I just don't see Dak Prescott staying with the. It's something that Dak is doing that he's done on. If you look at Dak's record against playoff teams and teams with winning record, it's not very good. They see that. He's going to have to play extremely well this year under Mike McCarthy and his new system for them to validate giving him a deal that makes him the highest paid quarterback in the league. And I just don't see that happening because there's something that the Joneses, Jerry and Steven, see that says he's not warranted. We don't want to pay him that money. I don't, oh, he's earned it. He deserves it. They see something. If they didn't see anything, he would already have a deal.
Well, what they see is a guy who gets carried by a defense, an offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and the players around him. They see a good player who wants to be paid like he's a great player. I don't blame Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And this is why I think it's more likely they eventually part ways. Dallas has lost a lot of free agents. I think Dallas as a team has backed up so far this offseason, which makes it more unlikely for Dak to have the kind of season that he'll need in order to justify the mega contract that he's looking for. And so, yeah, I think it's more likely he eventually parts ways. I just don't think he's leaving the Cowboys any other option. Unless they have some kind of 13-3, 12-4 season that sees them in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, why give Dak some kind of record contract when they allegedly, according to the reporting, they put a deal in front of him better than Carson Wentz, better than Jared Goff, not good enough for Dak. I think, to me, this comes back to Todd France and what's in the best interest of Todd France and CAA in this regard, and it's for Dak to get way overpaid. And so Todd France can continue to build his business. And again, I'm not trying to take a dump on Todd France. If I was him, I might be doing the same thing. But at the end of the day, the agent works for the client. And that's why it falls on Dak Prescott to have some self-awareness about who he is, what he needs to be successful. Can he really do better than what the Cowboys are putting on the table for him? Are there teams out there that would surround him with the necessary talent And are there teams out there that would pay him the kind of money that he's looking for? I don't think so. So, again, I can sit here and blame Todd France, but at the end of the day, the agent works for the client. Dak Prescott has some delusions of grandeur that don't justify the kind of pay he's looking for. And so I think eventually he plays some, it's more likely he plays somewhere else than gets a long-term contract from the Dallas Cowboys.
Man, this is just another classic case of the bad branding, man. Look, let's be real. I used to hate when I heard people say you never get a second chance to make a first impression. But it comes true in this case. When you draft someone in the fourth round, you're never projecting him to become Dak Prescott this fast. And so Dak Prescott was played for 5 years to the tune of $4.7 million. So you got used to playing him for the cheap. And then it's very difficult because of that first impression to fully respect what he's grown into. And now that's where we are. Look, his contract is great. I'm not saying that it's not a good deal, but it's not fully of the value that he represents to this team or to another team if he were a free agent because of the inflation of the CBA, because of the new money that's coming. He shouldn't just barely by a hair beat Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. There needs to be some distance. And I think that's what the fight is over, on top of the fact that Dak wants 4 years because he's already been played for cheap. And the Cowboys want him for 5 years because they're trying to play him cheap still.
But you got to look at it from this perspective. Is what Jason said is 100% right. CAA has to get a good deal for Dak. If they don't get a good deal for Dak, it's going to look bad on them. And Dak wants to be paid like he's Patrick Mahomes. He's not. You got to shoot for the stars and the moon. And if you land somewhere short of that, you're fine. But how far short? We don't know. Dak wants big money. The Cowboys aren't giving it to him. And he has to be smart, because when you look around the league and you go through every team, after this year, there's only going to be a handful of teams, if that, looking for a quarterback. The rookies that have come in have played well. The younger, they've played well. So there's not going to be many starting spots available. So Dak better be smart and play this the right way, because these young quarterbacks are coming in and they're being successful. You can maybe look at the Chicago Bears, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Colts. You start going from team to team, there's not going to be a lot of starting jobs available next year.
All right, let's move to one last topic. Phillip Rivers, new home with the Indianapolis Colts. Teddy Bridgewater, new home with the Carolina Panthers. Which one of these two guys, who helps their team more in 2020? Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcellus, who?
It's going to be Phillip Rivers. I think it's greatly exaggerated, his fall off the cliff. I think it's just age appropriate. That's what we do. Phillip Rivers has at least two seasons and potentially four seasons worse than what he did last year. But the difference is he wasn't 38 when he had those bad years. So we just look past him. I think that right now we collectively need to look past what happened last year. Don't forget that last year he had receivers in Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry all had the most drops that they ever had in their career. Think about that. No one's factoring that into the fact that Phillip Rivers felt that pressure. His receivers were dropping the ball. And then he's like, I'm going to fix this because I'm Phillip Rivers. So I think it's very age appropriate to discount his services. He still has something in the tank.
Yeah, I got to go with you, Marcellus, on this one. I lean Phillip Rivers, not so much because of Phillip Rivers. It's because of the team around him. The Panthers are rebuilding. They're basically starting from the basement. They're starting in the basement. New head coach, new offensive coordinator. They're bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. They have some pieces on offense with Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel. They have pieces to work with. But it's a new regime. You look at the Colts, if Andrew Luck doesn't retire, everybody's looking at them as a Super Bowl team. So they figure, we bring in Phillip Rivers, we have a good offensive line, we have a good run game, our defense is pretty good. We got T.Y. Hilton, probably will draft a receiver. They just have more pieces to the puzzle than the Panthers do. For that reason, to me, it's an easy answer with Phillip Rivers, just because he's going to be working with a lot more than Teddy Bridgewater is.
And that's why there's going to be more disappointment in Indianapolis, because the Colts are a team that feel like they're built for a Super Bowl run. And to me, Phillip Rivers can't get them there. And that's why I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to help the Carolina Panthers more. Expectations won't be great. Hey, let's say the Panthers win 6-7 games with a first-year head coach coming out of the college ranks with Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater is just steady and promising. He may be able to meet the expectations. I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to be able to meet the expectations of the Indianapolis Colts. And so Phillip Rivers' numbers may be better, but that doesn't mean he reaches the expectations. He's still going to throw interceptions. He's still old and immobile. He's still going to take bad sacks and hold the ball too long. Phillip Rivers is toast. Sorry to break that news to you, Marcellus, but he is done. And so are we with this segment. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, I don't know if I'm looking forward to this. I haven't seen this man in more than damn near about a month. Uncle Jimmy quarantined somewhere in Hollywood. Uncle Jimmy, you got a take on our Tom Brady conversation?
No, I do. All right, man, look here, man. Let me tell you something. Tom Brady done lost his damn mind. How the hell you gonna go from TB12 to T-Pain overnight? Now, he done married a stripper. Man, Tom Brady been married for 20 years. I didn't say he was happy. I just said he was been faithfully in a relationship for 20 years. The relationship fell on hard times. Hell, who amongst us right now ain't amongst going through hard times? Huh? Nobody. But let me tell you something. This is no time to throw away rule number one of the player's code of ethics. You can't turn a stripper into a housewife. Tom Brady.
Uncle Jimmy, thankfully we're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Man, stop.